Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on the show today, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is indeed second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. Happy 50th anniversary to the best in the business, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Rich Scarcella in just a moment, but first, our play-by-play call of the day.
Cross comes in from Marcelo. Knotted down in front, controlled by Jesus. Running on to it, it's Coutinho!
Another great World Cup moment. It's been an interesting World Cup so far. No U.S., no Italy, but still, it's been interesting.
Yeah, really entertaining with all the upsets we've had so far.
Yeah, and, Russia beat Egypt. Salah played for Egypt, and Russia still won. Brazil won today, by the way. Nigeria beat Iceland. I was over at WPSU. I just had to go in and take care of a time card, whatever, because technically I had the day off. And some people were watching the World Cup because I went in there at lunchtime. And, of course, every time one team was on the attack, I'd go, shoot it! Shoot it! Shoot! Come on, shoot!
Everybody does it then and when their hockey team's on the power play.
Shoot it!
And I'm guilty of that, so that's not a criticism of any sort.
The ball was at midfield. All right. So. Come on, I want action, all right, man? Well, come on, shoot it.
I don't know if I do with then in midfield, but then once they cross midfield, then maybe I start saying, shoot.
Shoot it. Shoot it. Yep. It's like Dick Girardi with a guy's hot. Shoot it. he barely's at midcourt. Shoot it. All right, let's bring in Rich Scarcella. He... of course, with the Reading Eagle, but also, once again, is writing for Lindy's, their football preview, the Penn State football annual. Rich, welcome back. It's great to have you with us again.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. Good. Actually, what I want to get to first is I want to get to your own backyard, and that is Lonnie Walker.
Yeah.
A lot of people there are excited about it. Mm-hmm. My attitude going in, Rich, was there was not a single player that could go in and turn a franchise around. So most of me going into this. But I said every single 15 could make a contending team better. Lonnie Walker gets the San Antonio Spurs. Mm-hmm. Let's talk. What's your opinion of the people in Reading?
Well, I think, first of all, the fit. You know, we're sitting there last night, and I wasn't covering the draft because I'm on vacation, but I'm sitting there watching it last night, and, you know, as it goes by and he's not getting picked, I'm like, wow, I'm just thinking about him and his family sitting in the green room and at the Barclays Center. But then when he's picked by the San Antonio Spurs, I don't think he or his family or anybody around him could have asked for it to go. I think he's going to get, obviously, terrific coaching by Greg Popovich and his staff. I think it's a great fit, and he has plenty of that. I don't know if your listeners know much about him, but he's a very special young man.
He ended up going to Miami. He could have gone to Harvard.
He could have gone anywhere. He really could have gone anywhere. What he's done, Steve, and I know, this tells you all you need to know. There were 2,500 people at First Energy Stadium, home of the AA Reading Fighting Phils last night, for a watch party. 2,500 people. And all they were doing, he obviously wasn't there, they were watching it on a video screen. That's how much this young man means to the city of Reading. I don't recall in my 30 plus years here, any athlete capturing the imagination of this city and this county, Berks County, as he has. Nobody has done it. Like, think it's because he could have transferred from Reading. He could have gone to a private school,
yes,
or maybe in the Interact, maybe somewhere else. But he chose to stay at Reading, and he led them to their first state championship in basketball in the 2017 season. And I can't remember an athlete who's more loved and more respected in this area than Lonnie Walker.
His father made him read 1 hour every day, and he is learned on a wide variety of subjects.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people don't realize that about him.
Yeah, he's a very smart young man. I'll give you an example. Last year, after his senior year at Reading, the Reading Eagle presents a female and male athlete. And last year, Lonnie was the for the year. The runner-up was a wrestler from Exeter High School who won a state championship, upset the three-time defending state champ, unbeaten. And Lonnie got up at this Athlete of the Year lunch, and I was there, and he talked about how this young man from X motivated Lonnie and his teammates before each game and gave him all the credit in the world. Because in any other year, this wrestler would have won Athlete of the Year.
Exactly.
Nobody told him to do this. He was there by himself,
yep,
got up and said, that's the kind of young man he is. And he's very impressive. I was thrilled in San Antonio because stable situation, great organization. Very happy for him.
Now I'll flip it to the other part, because you follow basketball closely. In fact, you were the one that actually got me years ago. You were the one that actually got me into the Wooden Award winning. And Rich, what does it mean now that Tony Carr gets drafted by New Orleans at 51, and that he's talked about, that Penn State's talked about, and then on the crawl on the bottom, you're seeing Tony Carr, Penn State at the bottom.
Yeah.
What does that mean for the program?
I don't think it could do anything but help the program. I was concerned when I saw some mock drafts, two-round mock drafts the day before, and saw that Tony wasn't listed, and I'm saying, boy, I really hope that it happens, that he gets drafted. I really, really hope that. Not only for his sake, but I think it's significant for Penn State when you consider, is it 20 years, 19 years since the last Penn State player has been drafted? When was Calvin drafted?
And Calvin eventually is going to be drafted, as he's an assistant general manager with the Denver Nuggets, and a lot of people think he's going to be a GM.
Yeah, that would be great, by the way. But it's very significant. I think it says a lot, not only about Tony Carr, about Philadelphia High School basketball, but also about Penn State basketball and Patrick Chambers. And I think, I hope things work out for him. You and I know second round picks, they're up against it.
Yep.
You know, the odds are against them.
No doubt.
But I think the fact that he has an opportunity, I hope he maximizes it, and I think he's got as good a shot as anybody drafted at that point, you know, late second round or whatever, to make it. And it's really good for Penn State basketball, and for Pat Chambers' sake and for Penn State basketball fans, hope it's a sign of good things to come.
All right, now the next part is you're doing a lot of work on the side with Lindy's, Penn
yep.
State Football Annual, and so forth. What
yep.
are a couple of the themes that you wanted to hit in the art and writing?
Well, first of all, for Lindy's, I've been writing for them 20-plus years. I don't even remember when I started, but it's been a long time. And usually I just write the season preview. And last year I wrote a story on Saquon Barkley because he was listed as one of the top All-American, their All-American running back list. And I wrote a story on Trace McSorley. And I was really surprised when I said, hey, do you guys want a story on Trace McSorley, him or his relationship with the new offensive coordinator, Ricky Ronnie? They just wanted me to write a preview. I'm like, okay. So in my preview, I just wanted to clarify that. In my preview, that's what I focused on. I focused on Trace and Ricky. Their relationship, that is, in the transition from Joe Moorhead as offense, nobody really expects to miss a beat here, especially between Trace and Ricky, because they've known each other for so long. Ricky recruited Trace when he was on the James Franklin staff at Vanderbilt, and from all accounts, from Ricky and Jen Ronnie and from Trace and his family, they've remained very close throughout this, even when Ricky was coaching the tight ends the last couple of years. So that's kind of what I focused on in the preview. That was sort of what I hung my hat on. And in Lindy's, you have to write a story about a newcomer. You have to mention a newcomer, and obviously that's going to be Micah Parsons. And that was a pretty easy one. And, and to say, where is he going to fit in, that kind of thing. And who knows where he's going to fit in, but I think we would both agree that he's going to see the field in his first year in the fall.
Right.
And for the Penn State football annual, by that, because it's done mostly exclusively by beat writers, men and women who have followed the team, who know the team better than anybody, it's a really good read every year. Well, I wrote two stories. I wrote one on Trace. I don't know if it's a cover story or not, to tell you the truth, but I wrote tried to write something different and kind of brought in led with his chance meeting with Allen Iverson at his Philadelphia 76ers game in March. And also wrote, Steve, I think I've written about this, about Dwight Gault and the strength and conditioning staff. I wrote a feature on that. And that, I learned stuff working on that story about Dwight and about his staff. As several people said, they, maybe more than anybody in Lash Building, know the heartbeat of the football team better than anybody.
Right.
And obviously Dwight Gault, based on the success that Penn State had at the NFL Scouting Combine, has really been somebody mentioned in recent months as one of the chief reasons for Penn State's success the last few years. So they're my stories, but I appreciate you asking me about them.
Yeah, I mean, with Dwight Gault, for example, first of all, the strength and conditioning staff in the offseason, mm-hmm. they have more contact with the players than anybody.
Yep.
But also, look, he's been with James Franklin mm-hmm. longer than anybody else on the staff. And so, thus, they connect. Was that part of what you were talking about? The connection with James, but the connection with the players, too.
Yeah, Dwight talked. I mean, I talked to him, a while back, and he talked about, because I asked him, I said, why have you stayed with James this long? And he said it's somebody he trusts, and he believes in.
Yep.
And that says a lot. I mean, that guy. He talked about that guy had a lot of success at Maryland as the strength and conditioning coach there. And for him to follow James to Vanderbilt and then to Penn State tells you a lot about how he feels about James Franklin. And I found it very interesting doing this story. It was something a little different. Mark Brackenberry, the editor of the new editor for the Football Annual, came up with the idea, and I embraced it quickly. And we went back, and Dwight told me about his roots in it, and when he started, was kind of just football was strength and conditioning, and then it became wider and wider. And a very interesting guy.
No, and he is the trust part. That's mm-hmm. that's big, mm-hmm. and that's something that is not talked often enough. In other words, sometimes people will ask questions. Why is, for example, this guy playing and not that guy? Well, it comes down to which one of the two do I trust? Mm-hmm. And on staff, that's a big part too. Which guy, you know, which people do you trust? And that's why James and Dwight are still here together.
Yeah, yeah. And the guys, I mean, I talked to Chuck Losey, who's been with, great guy. I mean, he was very enlightening, very helpful. And you know, he's been with Dwight from the first year at Vanderbilt. I think it's from the first year, and I didn't realize that was his alma mater. He played football.
Yep.
He was at a little small school, small college, and oh gosh, I'm drawing a blank now. I think it was Tennessee State, but I could be wrong. Anyway, and he and Dwight hit it off right away, and they clicked. And obviously, Chuck is one of his top guys, and you know, also a big part of the success.
Right. Yeah. I mean, no question about that. I do have to ask you.
Sure.
About your Green Bay Packers.
Yes.
And I have to ask you about Aaron Rodgers. All right. If you're running the Packers, what kind of contract do you think he deserves?
Oh boy. I mean, he's hopefully going to play a long time. You would expect. I mean, that's what he said.
Yep.
He has said that. You know, I would give him. Boy, I mean, I don't know a number. I don't want to throw out any numbers.
I
want to make sure that he's content and satisfied. You know, I because he's obviously the cornerstone of the franchise, and is, and hopefully will be. I think he has every intention of playing until at least he's 40.
Yeah.
So, you know, the big thing is we found out last year, is keep healthy. And, you know, they're a completely different team without him. So that's the big forward. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, the NFC, certain teams in the NFC certainly got stronger. The Giants,
yep.
The Eagles, and aren't going to be backing off anytime soon. And even in the division, I think the Bears got it better. And, you know, and the Vikings are, well, obviously they were very good last year, and it doesn't appear like they're going to slip.
Right.
So, you know, I hope he plays for a long time. I enjoy watching him just as a fan of the game. I love watching him play.
What do you think of the new red shirt rule for college football, Rich, where you can go up to 4 games, and it doesn't matter where the 4 games are? I mean, so there's not like the cutoff and so forth. If you want to, you can play in 1, 2, 10, and 13 if you want, or you can play 9, 10, 11, 12. I mean, whatever, and still retain eligibility. What do you think of that?
I'm not sure. I like the fact that if it's hurt and it's in the 4th game and he's played 4 games, that, you know, he'll get that year back. I like that. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to say I'm totally against this. But let's say a kid plays only 9, 10, 11, and game 9 through 12, like you said. And I'm just not sure about if that's the right thing to do. I don't know. I know they're doing it for the players' benefit, and I understand. But you know, it also is going to lead, it's going to open a can of worms and lead to abuse of the rule, and that's the danger that they can, something they considered.
Right.
So I don't know. How do you feel about it, Steve?
I go back 3 years ago, 4 years ago it was. Remember how tempted James Franklin was to play with?
Yep.
And I look at that and thinking, you know, they could have had the opportunity to get his feet wet late in the season, mm-hmm. just to see if they had something.
Yeah.
And I like that part. Is, you know, and here's the other part too, with the idea that it didn't really happen really this past year, but 2 years ago, Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey both opted out of bowl game. Well, say for example somebody opts out of a bowl game and you've got a 5-star running back that you're redshirting, you can play him. I think it puts more juice into the bowl game for fans and so forth.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. That's a good point. That's a really good point. I'm not against it, but I just, the thing I concern with I'm concerned with is the abuses of it. But any rule can be, you can say that about almost any rule.
Right.
I mean, I like the fact it's a more equitable thing for players. And, you know, like, what if a kid, I'll give you an example about it. Let's say a kid played in games 1 and 2, freshman, or 2 and 3, whatever, and then didn't play for several games, and then got hurt in game 6 or 7, and he said, and in past, am I right about this? He couldn't gain a red shirt. Right?
That's exactly right. I mean, his clock has now started.
Yeah. Right. In this case, I like that. It's fair to him. It's fair to him that okay, you play games 2, 3, and then 6, and then you get hurt in 7. You can still gain that year back. You don't lose the year totally. Right. So, yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out, how coaches handle this. You know, obviously, it's always a concern about burning a red shirt year, and I'm curious to see how it all pans out.
Yeah, me too. You're taking a little time off right now, and you gave us time, and appreciate you doing this very, very much.
My pleasure, Steve. I'll see you at the end of July.
I look forward. Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle, also appearing in Lindy's and also in the Penn State football annual. Our thanks to Rich. Brother, coming up in a few minutes, we'll talk with him. Thanks for joining us today as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills. Without question, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The beverage supermarket. And by the way, happy 50th anniversary to them. Yesterday was the NBA draft. In life, you cannot draft your family, but if I could, I would pick this guy to be my one brother.
Bonjour, monsieur. Comment allez-vous? Enchanté aujourd'hui.
Comment ça? I think you just swore. No.
No way. Well, if I did, I didn't know I did. So what up?
He's going all right. So I guess we're going to try a little trivia today.
Trivia Friday again. This is where it's at. How about that Greater Hartford Open? You hear any scores today?
Brian Harman is the leader.
Really?
Spieth had a tough day, shot a 3 over.
No way.
Yep, McIlroy is still in the mix. Justin Thomas is in the mix. And Jason Day shot 1 over today.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that was a beautiful day today. So it wasn't the weather. It was just bad play.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, okay. Anyway, so what have you been up to? Your wife was here for a week.
I know she was. I was well aware of that.
In case you were looking for her, she was here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I kept searching around for the entire week, you know. Now, I had 6 baseball games I did. I did the opening game on Friday night all the way through Wednesday night. Now the team's on the road in West Virginia for 3, and then I'm back on the baseball beat on Sunday night.
Are you coming to Norwich this year?
The team is, I'm not. So,
what?
Because I'm on vacation right around that time. So,
I know.
Well, I don't really have a long one this year, but yeah. I know you never take one.
No, man, I need one. I got to get the heck out of here before I kill somebody. But anyway, that's beside the point. Working around the clock, but it's all good. All good. Selling a lot of candle holders. That's all good. So
beautiful.
Yeah, we've sold almost 80 of them now. So
they're amazing.
I mean, for something that we're really not trying to sell, that's pretty good. If we really tried to, you know.
Well, you had that craft fair, right?
Yeah, I sold 15 there.
It's pretty good.
It was all right. You know, I wanted to do a little bit better, but it wasn't really. It was a strawberry fest, so it's more like people bringing their families to eat, and by the time you feed four, you know, it was like a big food fest supported by crafts, as opposed to a craft fair supported by food, you know.
Right,
so,
right.
That was fine with it, you know, got a lot of exposure, but it doesn't pay the rent, that's for sure, but it was fun.
No. but you know what? If you're doing something creatively, now this is, I mean, look, this is where obviously in what I do, I have the ability to actually work at something when I'm doing games that is so much fun. It's a great release for me, and I get paid for it.
Yeah.
You know, you're at least when you're doing that, that's a release for you in something that you do that's fun for you, even though it may not be the most profitable thing on the face of the earth.
Oh, that's what it's called, a release?
Sure.
I'll tell you what, I win the lottery, I let go. I'm out, man. I'll find a new release.
you know what's funny? That if I win the lottery, if I were to win the lottery, I'd still continue to do games.
Well, that's the difference.
Yeah.
I'm out. The first thing I do is take the sign off the building. The second thing is I take it in and I cut it up. And the third thing is I leave and I leave the keys on the floor. So that's all. I'll be knocking on your door. I'll give you some money. So.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate that. I'll take it.
Okay.
So Matt, let's go round one here.
All right, so we're going to start off with a little bit of soccer first. I have a couple soccer questions since we got the World Cup going. First is, which country has won the most FIFA World Cups?
Shoot it.
Who's up?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I say Germany.
I was going to say Germany as well.
It is incorrect. It is Brazil. They have won 5 World Cups, 1958, 1962, 1970, 1994, and 2002.
Shoot it.
Apparently they did a lot.
Sure.
Okay, we're 0-1. 0-1. My turn?
Yeah.
Okay. Same thing, same topic. World Cup. You have to get the English version of this. Je veux mes cornichons.
Shoot it. Shoot the ball.
You want me to repeat it?
Shoot.
Sure.
Oh, no, no need
je
to repeat it.
Je veux mes cornichons.
I got nothing.
Beckham.
I want my pickles.
Beckham. We're working on that.
I got to get it in every show.
Okay.
I really thought this out hard, you know. So,
oh, I can tell.
Okay, now, Steve, you're 0-2.
Yeah.
Matt, you're 0-1.
Okay.
Right.
College basketball. Name the only coach to win the NCAA tournament, the NIT, the Pan Am Games, and the Olympic Games.
Coach K?
Bobby Knight.
Bobby Knight is correct.
Ooh, good one. All right.
Meet a man.
Yeah.
All right. So I got another soccer one. In what year was the first World Cup held, and in which country?
It was in Uruguay and in 1930.
Brazil in 1931.
Uruguay, 1930. Good work, Steve.
Wow. Good job.
That's pretty good work.
In 2030, expected to go back there.
Okay.
No, seriously. I mean, for the 100th year, I expected to go back there in 2030.
That was very good. Okay. Name the professional athlete who was a current producer of the game show The Wall.
The Wall? What is the game show The Wall? I've never seen it.
It's on, was it on NBC?
Yeah, they have a big wall and they drop a ball and
right,
it goes down
I've
like
seen
a
it before.
Pinball.
It's a brutal game.
Yeah, it's a fun, it's a cool show.
Yeah.
Any answers?
Let's see. You're probably better at this than I am.
Got one, Matt?
Okay. Repeat that one again.
Name the professional athlete who is the current producer of the game show The Wall.
Let's see. I will say Kobe Bryant.
Good answer, Matt.
Michael Strahan.
He does everything else, right?
Yeah, why not?
LeBron James.
Really?
Is he really?
Yeah.
How about that?
All right. I know he has that production company in L.A., which is kind of a reason why he maybe wants to go to the Lakers, but how about that? All right.
Okay. Cool. Name the only school to produce a Heisman Trophy winner and an Outland Trophy winner in the same season twice.
Notre Dame.
I'm going to go with Florida.
Nebraska. Johnny Rogers and Richie Glover and Mike Rozier and Dean Steinkuller.
Wow.
This is all before Scott Frost got there to save it.
Good question. Okay, Matt, you're up.
All right, I hope this isn't a layup, but I thought it would be somewhat challenging. What were Penn State's original colors?
Pink and black.
Pink and black.
Dang it, yep. it was worth a shot. I thought it looked hard. I wouldn't have got that right.
There's no way I would have got it right.
It was agreed upon by the student body in 1887, so I thought maybe I had a shot at that one.
Wow, that's a good question, too. Okay, here's my last one. What are the maximum amount of letters allowed for a racehorse's name?
Shoot it.
That's awful. The animal rights people are coming to catch us.
Well, I mean, let's face it. I think as a horse, you know you're in tough shape if your name is Alpo's Dream.
Okay. Right.
maximum? No, I don't know. I'll go with 26.
Matt?
I was going to say 20.
18.
Ah, just missed it.
You were close. So Matt gets it right because he was close.
All
so
right.
We were all 1-1-1.
All right, I'll take that.
Yep. Hey, that was good. Oops. So next week, so are you playing? Are you playing for Sean? Every week?
I guess I'll count it for Sean this week. I won't be back till probably late July on the show. Sean will be back fully next week.
Okay.
All right, so let's take a break.
We're currently tied 1-1-1.
Yep, so let's take a break. We'll come back, finish up the show in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. They sold student tickets this week for Penn State football. 21,000 Penn State football season tickets for students. They sold out the 21,000 tickets in 48 minutes. How about that? Yeah, why so long?
I'm surprised it actually took that long.
You should see UConn. You got to see UConn to believe it. They have a student section with 1,000 students, and it's empty for every game. And they got a big sign on it, voted the best student section in America. They're not even the best student section in the state.
They're not even the best student section in the state.
Oh, UConn's a joke. Absolute joke. Now the men's basketball program's shot, so unless this guy comes along and does something. But anyway, I interrupted you. You were.
In fact, I had a nice talk on Wednesday with Kevin Freeman, who, of course, played for UConn on the 99
really?
National Championship team. Kevin's now on the staff here at Penn State. Now as
really?
An assistant
on
coach.
The football staff?
No, basketball staff.
Basketball? Yeah, he was. What an athlete he was, man. He's the one who threw the ball to Tate George to win the
yes.
NIT.
Yep. And not only that, but he actually grew up in Springfield.
Yep.
Then moved, eventually played high school hoops in Jersey.
He was a good baseball player.
I'll tell you, I mean, great guy. I mean, he's exactly what they need. I mean,
he's a monster of a human being. So.
He's 6'7", and looks like he could take Matt and throw him over a hedge.
Yeah.
I wouldn't deny that for a second.
He's a big dude. He was a big, strong guy. I mean, but he was I think he was a pitcher in baseball. I'm not sure. But he was a two-sport guy. But he was great. Great basketball player. Good man.
Oh. Well, he's here. He's here now, and I think he's going to be a big plus for the staff.
Great.
Big plus. Because he'll be able to work with the big guys because that's the spot he played.
Yeah.
And
he learned under Calhoun. So, I mean, he learned under a good man.
Well, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I had good talk with him the other day.
Has he been coaching? Is this his first job, or
as a coach? Yes, he had been the administrator, the liaison between the basketball program and the athletic department for the last 7 years.
Where?
At UConn.
Okay.
And when Dan Hurley came on, Dan was going to keep him in that position, even though Kevin wanted to coach. Well, then when this came up, to be honest with you, he was not Patrick's first choice to get this job, he said. But then he came in and he interviewed. And what they do is that, you know, when Pat interviews him, then the other guys of the staff interview him. They were all blown away by the guy.
No, he's a very well-spoken, good guy. I mean, that goes back to his college days, and I'm sure he's better now than he was a role model. Kevin Freeman's a good man.
Well, he said, now Steve, he said, now your role is what? I said, let me just put it into terms that you understand. I said, I am to Penn State what Joe D'Ambrosio was to UConn. He goes,
really?
Oh, good, yeah. He said, you know Joe? I said, yeah, I know Joe.
And then same thing.
And Joe, except Joe's not going to do the job anymore. So
I didn't know that. Why? He retired?
They switched from WTIC to another station.
Wow.
And when they did that, Joe decided to stay with WTIC in Hartford, and that meant he couldn't do UConn basketball. Now, to me, that's something you work out. I mean, come on. You work that out.
Oh, he's a legend here.
Of course he is.
Wow. You want to know what? He may be turned out. I don't know. I think Hurley's going to do a good job at Connecticut. So
Dan Hurley's a good coach. No, Dan Hurley's a good coach. No, he is.
Is he related to the Hurley family? Bobby Hurley?
Yes.
And
that's Bobby's brother.
Okay.
Yep. And the only thing about Dan Hurley has a tendency. The negative about him is that he has a tendency to be a hothead.
Yeah.
The positive is that he knows exactly what he's doing. He's very organized. He finds talent.
Did a good job at Rhode Island.
Did a great job at Rhode Island. I saw him coach two games a year ago down at Mohegan Sun against Duke and Cincinnati. Guy's a good coach.
Yeah. He can flat-out coach, which means he can recruit. UConn needs discipline. I don't know what happened with Kevin Ollie, but it's a mess. And it's a big court battle now, and he said, she said type of thing. And well, it had nothing to do with a woman. I'm just saying.
I know what you mean. It's school
UConn
versus
saying
him.
This, he's saying that. And it's a mess. And they owe him $10 million. So.
That's a big number.
Yeah. Hey, how about the Yankees and Red Sox, huh? They both won 50 games already. There's still 9 games left
big
before
series,
the halfway.
But next weekend's a big series.
They're playing each other?
Yeah, I think it's in Boston, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's in Boston this time. That's what bothers me about next year. They're going to play the 2 games of the Yankees and Red Sox in London.
Yeah, I don't understand that either.
That's crazy.
I mean, after a while.
There's nothing like playing each other at Yankee Stadium in Fenway Park.
I've had enough with London games in general. The NFL, the NBA, the MLB, like, enough already.
I mean, that's why Tampa Bay and Miami were created. Send them over there.
Remember you and me went to Fenway Park, a Yankee Red Sox game, and the Yankee fan was getting kicked in the head as he was rolling down the steps?
Oh, I know. Well, no, that's why. I took Kathy to 1 Red Sox Yankees game. 1.
Yeah.
Okay? There were so many fights, I never took her back to another one again.
Yeah. Bad news.
What do you mean?
Have
it's
a good week.
Have a great week, Kev.
All right. Bye, you guys. Bye, Matt.
See you, Kev.
Yep.